Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
But first...
So for all the crap, and this is Heather, Joel's wonderful wife, who sets all the sound levels for them because they don't know how to do it themselves. Guess what they also don't know how to do? They don't know how to check their on-off switches.
I do now.
Yes, and Chris was very, very good about checking it tonight.
Thanks.
However, as Joel was trying to set his mic levels, he was like, I can hear myself, which only works in your head, not when the mic is turned off. So now you get to be made fun of for being stupid this time.
And when we discussed this, I made it a point to say, you know what? It would sound very cheap of me to make fun of Joel this week after I received my due punishment for going through last week and everything. So Heather decided in her infinite wisdom and assistance that she gives this podcast, thank you very much, she decided to do this herself.
I feel like it's fair.
Okay. And how many times have we gone through this part of the podcast?
This is only the second time.
Okay. All right. Okay. No. We've each taken our medicine here. Joel and I have taken our medicine.
Chris provoked me to say things I'm not supposed to say on our very child-friendly
That's right.
Podcast.
You're listening to Take Two, guys.
Somebody forgot the classy part of classy ring attire and went all out, catch can.
That's all three of us now. So Joel has let something slip, I've let something slip, and now Heather has let something slip.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
It's a wash.
And so is Neil, and so is Jonah, and probably Beardsley, I don't remember.
I think Beardsley made it through.
No.
I think of all the people
who
make it through on this podcast, Beardsley was the one.
Now I remember Q was on, and he purposely just went on just a sentence, probably a paragraph, full of everything, and he felt so bad that he personally edited the podcast that week, and then put in I think it was yeses, Dana Bryan yeses for every bleep.
Oh wow!
It took a while.
Yeah, that was one of those didn't come out quite on time episodes, but it was worth it.
It was worth it for that joke.
All right, boys, have fun.
We will.
Right,
don't
you.
Turn the mics off. I love you too.
So, the wrestling part of this podcast.
I love me.
Chris, you're an okay guy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, wrestling.
All right, I'm not going to incite any more rage tonight. No more. On purpose.
There you go. Way to cover your bases.
Thank you. All right, so Money in the Bank is this weekend.
Right.
Which
is...
being billed...
I've heard is bigger than WrestleMania. That's the
okay. Sure. There are WrestleMania worthy matches on there, and if you want to get technical, it is being billed as "quote unquote" the best Money in the Bank of all time.
Yes.
That is absolutely something that's been beaten over our heads by Michael Cole numerous times on Monday Night Raw.
Said bigger than WrestleMania on more. Than
sure, 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 sure. But
enough that
but
I
this
would
week
say it's being billed as
sure,
bigger than WrestleMania.
But this week they've been really hitting the best Money in the Bank of all time line.
Yeah.
Which is cool, and I'm gonna let them finish, but Money in the Bank 2011 was the best Money in the Bank of all time.
Yeah. Okay, this is
But that features someone that they don't want to reference anymore.
Exactly. This is very possibly going to be the best Money in the Bank match of all time, looking at who's in it.
Agree.
Like,
as far as the
match goes, I can get behind that. It won't be the best.
Because you can't really see a whole lot of weak points.
No.
I don't think we can see any weak points, to be honest. But in ring-wise, no.
No. I feel that the whole bigger than WrestleMania is coming from, so WrestleMania 32 was,
poopy? At least the last...
It was...
The fifth hour was?
I feel it was lacking. And I feel like there's two matches on this card that would have been WrestleMania matches... if certain people had been able to compete at WrestleMania.
So it's this is the first pay-per-view where those wrestlers are available after injury.
Right.
And so now it's here it is, you guys, that kind of thing.
So they're all but saying, this was going to be WrestleMania,
sure,
but you get it now.
And honestly, I firmly believe still that the main event for WrestleMania 32 was supposed to be a triple threat with the Shield members.
Yeah.
I fully believe that's probably what the main event was supposed to be.
I believe it was floated at some point.
Sure.
So...
I definitely was on the radar before all the injuries started happening.
Right. But let's get into Raw real quick. Just
okay.
Go back through Raw. Highlighted points. I really dug the whole Shield Ambrose Asylum.
Yeah.
And I gotta give all of that to Dean. I think Dean did pretty fantastic there.
He did a really great job kind of steering the ship in that. Because he was the one that, you know, like, again, it was his quote-unquote show, and, you know, it was his car to drive, essentially, and he had to kind of keep everybody on topic, but still let them kind of get their stuff
but
in.
But it was a thing where I ended up going back and rewatching it, and I will very rarely rewatch promos. I rewatch matches sometimes.
Right, but it's got to be something special.
Like promos, yeah. It's kind of like the pipe bomb promo, and that's it. Like,
there are
very few promos that I'm going to go back and rewatch, especially within the same week. And rewatching that Dean Ambrose promo, especially knowing how it's going to end, things that Ambrose did the first time around that just seemed like, oh, crazy Ambrose, really playing into that lunatic character.
Right.
You could watch him be very manipulative of not just Seth, but also of Roman.
Oh, sure.
Especially knowing how it was going to end the segment.
Sure.
So, yeah, Dean's fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, he consistently, like, kind of reminds me that he's my favorite on the roster. There's so many people that I really, really like on the roster that it feels like it changes from week to week, but at the end, like, it always is like, oh, no, it was Ambrose. I remember now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm waiting because everyone knows Nakamura is probably, like, my favorite guy, like, wrestler in the world. But as far as, like, main roster people, like, it's like I'm waiting for somebody to kind of, like, take that extra step and really stand out from the rest of everyone else, like, in all, you know, facets. And I honestly, like, Dean Ambrose is probably the closest person to that, you know, even though, you know, Seth is kind of like, I want it to be Seth in a way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't like the coward heel, you know? Like, I appreciate everything that he's doing, but I would wish that he would at least win a few matches cleanly.
Face Seth would have been that guy. If they had just let it happen, Face Seth would have been that guy.
Right. And I really like I said, I enjoy his mic work, but, like, the one kicker for me is, like I said, it's the cowardly heel that has to find a different way to, like, underhandedly win every single match. And I'm just like, I would like to see at least one title pay-per-view match where he won cleanly, you know? And then again, that's not entirely his fault or anything, but it kind of makes him, in a way, in that aspect, it falls in line
from under him.
Right. And it makes him fall in line with pretty much every other cowardly heel that we've seen lately.
Yeah.
You know, even though, again, I know he's head and shoulders above the rest, you know?
And it sinks into the problem that whenever anybody is a heel, they automatically, oh, they're the cowardly heel now. And
sure.
It's like, well, three weeks ago, they were putting their life on the line when they were a face.
Right.
You know, and now all of a sudden, they're scared to have a single match in the middle of Raw.
Sure.
How about that?
Right. So, I don't know.
I was really pleased with that. John Cena's and AJ's contract signing really kind of, like, stood out for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Like, it was a contract signing, so I was, like, ready to whoop-de-do it.
Sure, and maybe that's part of the reason why it felt, you know, that much better, because you went in with such low expectations of that segment.
Cena comes out, like, AJ does, honestly, a pretty standard, like, he does it well, but it's a pretty standard, like, you know, yeah, you're great, but you're only great because I hadn't gotten here yet.
Sure.
Now you're, you know, done for.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too wildly revolutionary. But Cena comes back with this, you know, I am absolutely tired of this, you know, this line that all of these indie guys have.
Right.
You know, if only I'd been there, da-da-da-da-da. And it felt like Cena got a little bit real for a second there.
Sure. And It would have, because, you know, all these things have been talked about Cena, like, forever, and I'm sure he gets it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah,
all the time. So it's not like something that he completely he never sees, or he just doesn't notice. So it has been something that has been not necessarily eating at him, but at least, you know, he probably has to have,
probably in his day to day life.
Sure, and so it's probably something like, and, you know, for the most part, he is he doesn't really respond to that stuff at all.
Right.
You know? I at least not in public. He doesn't, like, lash out at anybody on Twitter or anything. He's professional John Cena. That's mm-hmm. just what he does.
Yeah.
So this is probably, like, something that's kind of been lingering in his head for a while now.
Yeah.
And this was a good time to bring it up because, you know, all, like, what do we say? Like, the best promos and the best work of anybody is when there's a little bit of truth in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know?
And there's so many promos of John Cena's in the past that we were just like, okay, that just feels really, really, you know, company line, yeah, company disingenuous. Line,
joke, you sure. know, love the fans, you know.
Right. So I kind of appreciate this from Cena. Like, that felt pretty real. Like, it felt like it came from a real place from him.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, yeah. I'm right there with you.
There's something that somebody posted on Twitter.
Okay.
That I wanted to address at some point.
Okay.
But it was talking about how you feud properly in promos prior to a big match.
Sure.
And basically, I've criticized on the past, I think here on the past, I think you have as well,
mm-hmm.
People who basically put down and belittle their opponent prior to a match, and it's like, mm-hmm. well, you're not doing anybody any favors, because if you won, whatever, you beat a crappy opponent.
Sure.
And then if they win, now you look super bad.
Right. And it kind of is a pitfall for feuds that doesn't necessarily have any sort of, like, fire or tension between the guys, like, just out of, you know, pure hatred of the characters or anything. Like, it'd just right. be like, you know, oh, I'm better than you. And then it's a pitfall for that.
There's a very basic, like, you know, you're good, but I'm better. That,
sure.
And so what the guy tweeted was, why do people need to respect their opponents? Batman never cut a promo on the Joker saying that he was, you know, good at what his job was.
Sure.
And that stuck with me because I was like, you know what? That tells a different story, because there are things like that. I don't
sure.
ever need Kevin Owens to cut a promo saying that Sami Zayn is good.
Sure. No, you know, no, no.
Not
at all.
That's not that character. Those right. are characters that absolutely
and,
hate
yeah, and there absolutely have been, like, you know, very vigilante-esque type, you know, scenarios yeah. where it's just like, you know, this has gone on way too long, and I'm here to put it into your championship reign because you've been, you know, doing blah, blah, blah. Cause honestly, that's what I wanted from CM Punk and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted CM Punk to look like a dominant, arrogant force, and then Rock was like, supposed to come in as the only guy that could put it into
right,
it,
exactly.
you know? Which would have put CM Punk on a whole new pedestal,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's, of course, you know, they kind of did the whole typical heel thing with
him.
Well,
and that's the thing. I was actually going to bring up Rock and Cena, mm-hmm. where it was, you know, the promo matches were basically, you suck, no, you suck.
Sure.
No, you suck.
Right.
And as soon as they both had really great starters. The Rock came back, cut amazing, oh, he's still The Rock promo. John Cena came back, you know, brought out the Thuganomics thing for the first time in years.
Right.
And there was a little bit, oh, he's still got it. And I was like, that's really impressive. But beyond that, it was like, you know, he's like, I'm awesome at this. You suck at this. And I was like, right. well, nobody's coming out in the long run. It's still a big deal because it's Cena versus The Rock.
Sure.
But nobody's coming out looking like, ah, but I beat, you know, da-da.
Right.
That is a situation where, and I think Cena did a really, really good job of it this week, saying, you know, with his interactions with AJ, of people are begging for this match. This is, you know, this is your time to shine. I want you to come. I want you to bring your very best.
Sure.
I want to beat AJ at his very best.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Cena did much better work at this match than he did with The Rock. Now, when he faced The Rock, 98% of the work was done for him. Like, as
oh,
long
sure.
as you let somebody know, Cena's going to fight The Rock at WrestleMania. All right. You're sold or you're not.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
This one needs a little bit more work, but I think Cena, and AJ did fine. I don't mean to be like, Cena's saving this and AJ sucks. No.
No, no, no. AJ, this is probably the best mic work he's done since joining the company.
Yeah.
By far, yeah.
But I also kind of expected it of AJ. And the Cena thing came out really
weren't
impressive. And so,
and again, like, you know, that's kind of AJ's like one real pitfall is like he's not gonna you know, light any fires on the mic, you know.
Right.
So Cena knew he kind of had to bring it, you know, to kind of sell how, you know, as if, you know, just them being in the ring facing each other isn't big enough to sell the match, because honestly it is. But John knew that if they wanted to take it any further than that, he was going to have to.
It's for those final few people that, like,
right,
what the crap is this AJ Styles chant happening?
Sure. You know?
Because I think there are enough people that are, you know, just WWE guys.
Sure, yeah.
Just casual enough that they're like, I don't know any of this.
Right, AJ and they're Styles. Just now tuning in because John Cena's back or something exactly. Along those lines, yeah.
But I think they're doing really, like, they're really pushing AJ Styles.
Sure.
I don't know of another guy that's gotten this good of a push coming from the outside. I mean, I draw instant comparisons to Sting, and I was like, you know what? Sting did not get that good of a push. Like,
no.
You know, he had four matches. Two of them were on pay-per-view. He's, you know, 0-for-2 on pay-per-view.
He had four matches?
He had two on Raw. He had, like, one against The Big Show and then, like, a tag team match with John Cena.
Oh. I completely... All right. Completely forgot about all that stuff.
They're not memorable at all. They're just, like... He had four matches, not two, on a technicality, because they're like, you know... And it was the thing where, like, we're going to put Sting in the main event. And then, you know, 4 minutes into it, somebody comes out and Sting and Cena win by disqualification. Or,
sure.
It's not a big deal. But, yeah. Sting does not have a great WWE track record.
No, not so far. You know, he's only had two singles matches, two pay-per-view matches, and neither really ended incredibly well for him.
Mm-mm.
One seemed like
it's kayfabe in real life.
Yes. So with that being said, you want to jump into the card?
Yeah, let's do the card.
All right. We have Apollo Crews versus Sheamus.
I go Apollo Crews.
Yeah, I'm going Apollo Crews. Like, there's not really a whole lot to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, like, a majority of this storyline's been going on SmackDown. Because there was, like, the initial beginning of it, and then I haven't seen anything else on it.
I will start watching SmackDown when it's live.
Yeah.
Not that that's going to happen. All right, let's go.
Sure.
I will wait till then.
And these guys continue their streak of, you know, being on the kickoff show, Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. Something I'm assuming is also continuing on SmackDown.
This is really, really undercutting the very little amount of credibility that the King of the Andre the Giant winner gets.
Sure.
Because I think he's appeared on the pre-show every pay-per-view since WrestleMania.
Sure, but not saying that it did a whole lot of favors for Cesaro either.
No.
So, I don't know. So, yeah, we're both saying... Or, I'm sorry, I'm saying Baron Corbin.
I'm saying Baron Corbin.
Okay. We got Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Natalya and Becky.
I'll go Natalya and Becky since they can win without...
See, that's what I had that thought.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm like, WWE loves them some Charlotte. And her and Dana Brooke is kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
And they like the new things.
I mean, you're welcome to go the other
way. I mean, that's where I'm going, yeah.
There's some difference in there.
Yeah.
I would like to throw out that this would have kind of been the ideal year to have a women's division Money in the Bank match.
Would have been great.
This was this is the roster you have for the first time. You can totally do that. You only have one.
And I mean, like,
two.
And honestly, out of everyone who is in NXT right now, because, you know, you could make the argument like, well, maybe they're waiting for an influx of talent to fill out that match, even though they could absolutely do it with the roster they've got. The only ones that I see as being ready would be Bayley and Asuka, and they need at least one of those to remain, you know,
they need somebody the face to be the final boss, yeah.
Exactly, and right now that's absolutely Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, adding one person to it wouldn't necessarily make or break that.
Well, I mean,
that potential match.
You have Charlotte, Becky, Natalya, Sasha Banks, Dana Brooke, and Naomi. I mean, that's six.
Yeah.
So there's your. I mean. That's six competent wrestlers who I'd feel very comfortable watching in a ladder match.
Right, yeah.
So, no reason that they shouldn't be, but they're not. And, I mean...
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Now we have John Cena and AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. I'm going AJ Styles.
You are?
Yeah.
I don't know. First match back, it's hard for me to pick against John Cena.
That's fair.
So I'm saying John Cena, yeah.
I flip back and forth. I'm going AJ Styles because it looks very Kevin Owens-y.
Right.
Clean win for the new guy, and then John Cena gets his two back.
Because part of me wants to be like, this seems like a good moment to kind of like take from the Sting template, even though AJ Styles already like had his first big match. His WrestleMania match that he kind of like took his lumps for, you know, for competing against WWE for so long.
Yeah.
But those lumps weren't against John Cena, so.
Yeah.
I gotta say John Cena for that.
John Cena's a reasonable guess.
Right.
So, I think AJ Styles is a reasonable guess as well.
I agree. Because, again, like, part of me was like, well, it seems like they're more comfortable with John Cena losing now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they want him losing now.
His first match right. back. Yeah. No, I see that happening as well.
We got the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Championship. Got New Day, The Club, Enzo and Big Cass, and the Vaudevillains.
I think it's very possible that The Club could win this one, the way they've been going about.
Right, because this is the whole thing of the... And also, I could see an argument for the same argument for Enzo and Big Cass winning it, because, you know, this is how they win without necessarily pinning New Day, but New Day would get a rematch, so I don't really see them putting up against a face team up against a face team. They really don't like doing that.
But I'm gonna go with New Day in the end, because they're so close.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to say New Day as well.
Yeah, and I still feel as like they're not getting stale yet, so.
No, not at all. So it's not like they have to... Yeah, they don't really have to do damage control on that yet. We had the United States Championship match, Rusev versus Titus.
Which one of these touched Vince when he didn't want to get touched?
I know.
Which one's going to lose in front of his children on Father Day?
See, part of me wants to believe that they're not that evil, that their Father of the Year award winner guy is going to lose.
I know, but like,
on Father's Day in front of his kids.
Titus O'Neil came back, and like, one of the first things they did was have somebody grab him on the ramp while he was not expecting it.
Okay, he had been back for a little while, and they didn't do anything with him for about a month.
Okay, but that's like his first feud thing.
Oh, sure. This is the first thing he's done, and the first thing they do is somebody grabbing him on the ramp. I don't feel like they did that on purpose. Like, not like...
No, I'm totally reaching for straws.
Oh, sure.
I do not think he's gonna win.
Really?
You're putting Titus down as your winner?
And see, part of me like doesn't want to, because I'm at the top. Like, I'm 1 point away from the lead right now. So, now I see what you went through all last year. Like, the pressure's on, even though it's like the third pay-per-view that we've done for this. And so it's still very early, but... man, like, I don't know. Like, I've already sent my picks into Blair, so it's not like I can, like, really change them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I said Titus.
All right.
So you mean you're going to have...
We're over the fences. We're having different cards this time, yeah.
Yeah.
One of us is going to be very upset at the end of the night.
I'm interested in seeing what Heather's card is going to look like. Because her and mine have been pretty similar lately.
Yeah.
At least they were last week. She'll get there. Beardsley, however, is still picking Kevin Owens to win every match, that even the ones that he isn't in. I think he has one right.
Yeah.
He's 1-1, yeah.
So he's got 1 point.
Cool for him. Next, we have the Money in the Bank ladder match. Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Del Rio.
Who'd you go with this one?
I went with... I feel like it's the safest pick is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm going with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
With like, Kevin Owens
in a match like
right
this,
under there?
You're right. In a match like this, when there's so many options, this is the one where you go, you pick safe.
Yeah. Well, this was the thing, like, if we had been going the same the whole time up until this point, I would have picked Kevin Owens just to be different, because it's so much either one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But
would Kevin Owens be, like, for no points, would Kevin Owens be your...
My number two?
Your number two?
Oh, without doubt.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number two would be Cesaro.
Really?
Really play up the whole professional thing with his tux, and he would have a briefcase with him.
That's a good point.
I had that thought during Raw. I'm like, but I don't know. Again, like, but it's Cesaro, and I don't know if WWE is willing to do that for him yet.
Like,
you know,
I'd be fine with Cesaro. I just don't know if they would.
Exactly.
And so,
so that's why I wasn't quite comfortable enough to put my full weight of support behind him. I would love it. wouldn't be as surprising as Zack Ryder winning at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But it would kind of be up there. It would be a very pleasant surprise that I would gladly, like, eat those points, even though it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's, what, 4 points for Blair's little... Is it? Jeez. Dumb little point system?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Dean Ambrose then. I mean, Dean Ambrose is, like, he's a safety like that much.
I still feel like he should do a one-to-one for every match, but, you know, whatever. Even though I know, it had nothing to do with me with Royal Rumble, that's still some BS.
I understand it is.
That's still some BS. Like, 5 points for one match?
Yeah.
It killed, like, all your chances?
It did.
Player, I know it helps keep things interesting with everybody
else, but... the thing. That decision was made after I'd submitted my picks.
Yeah. That's some... Yeah. Would you have...
Oh, yeah. No, I totally would have.
You would have gone with the...
Triple H in a heartbeat.
And you went with Roman.
I went with Roman. No, I went with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, also, I feel like that would have been also a very safe pick. Like, Brock Lesnar was my second choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, I thought I could be risky, because I was far enough in the lead, but I didn't know.
That's some BS right there.
I know it is.
Speaking of some BS, we're on to our main event. Roman versus Seth.
Roman's going to win.
Yeah, as much as it sucks.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, like, WWE put so much faith behind Seth for so long. Surely they would be, like, he would be a guy that they would be okay with winning over Roman.
Well,
but...
Where are they? Are they in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah, is the Las Vegas crowd one that can force a double turn here?
It's where Punk did the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, and honestly, like, the crowd's reaction to the pipe bomb wasn't exactly great. It was, like, there's certain moments you can hear, like, oh, like, you know, knowing that he wasn't supposed to say those certain things.
Yeah.
But they weren't necessarily great.
No.
At the time.
It's a weird thing.
And, like, Vegas is a place that I don't really notice them going to a lot, you know, because it seems like we'll have, like, those, you know, roulette things, like, every once in, like, a couple years.
Right.
You know, but they go to places like Chicago and New York and all these other places, like, multiple times. Like, I don't know how many times they've gone to the Barclays Center in the past 2 years.
They can really sell it out. Yeah.
Sure. Like they sold it out for, what, 3 straight days?
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the kind of thing I was like, I'll just pick Roman, and then if he wins, I get the points. If he loses, whatever.
Yeah, then we'll be happy, yeah.
So.
How do you feel about, because they've kept John Cena and Seth out of the ring, like, from, like, actual matches pretty much this entire time.
Yeah, okay.
It makes me feel like, you know, they're not quite ready to go, but, like, they're close enough.
Right.
But they felt comfortable, like, putting them in a scenario.
And part of it is there's that little bit where, like, they love playing up the, like, every time John Cena does this, he's like, there's always some, like, they said it would be 9 months, I'm back in 5.
Right. It's like, well, technically 6. Because you came back in 5 months, but you're only cutting promos for that last month. You know what I mean?
But it's like...
But so, it's weird so with Seth, because we know Seth is still doing, he's doing live events.
Right.
I don't know if Cena is or not.
But, like, the first time Cena did that, that's cool. Look at that guy go. The second time, he's like, wow, he is. And the third time, it's like...
Like, you're really playing Russian roulette with your health right now, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. And so, like, every time they do that now, it's like, it's going to be 6 months. I'm like, God, I hope it's 6 months.
For his own personal...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because I feel like, I think Seth kind of did that as well. Like, came back a little earlier than what they were. And again, like, the initial number is just an estimation, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, it's not like that's like, you know, if he comes back a day before X amount of months, the guy is going to die or anything like that. Like, you know, it's just an estimation. And again, some people heal better, like, they have less complications than others. But when it happens, like, 3 times in your life, like, that, I don't know.
And some of it is, like... Some of those numbers were ridiculous. Like, he was back in 2 months on an 8-month injury.
Yeah, no, like, that
you're not better.
That elbow thing from SummerSlam a couple years ago, he should have been out longer. Like, for his own well-being, like, he should have been out longer.
He left to SummerSlam, and he was back by, like, early October.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't think so.
No, yeah, I feel the same way.
So, I think some of it comes down to, like... These guys are back. Let's save their first match back for a
sure.
big deal.
And sure. And I'm
especially because they're going against, you know, AJ Styles and that whole, that clash is happening. Right. And Seth is going for the title. I do like the fact that Seth comes back and the first thing is like, didn't lose that title, won it back.
Sure, there was no, like...
Not interested in, like, anything. No, like, personal grudge against Kane.
Yeah. Nah, I'm glad that he went straight after it.
And so, to the point where he's like, not in any other matches.
Yeah.
So, yeah. As long as they are genuinely healthy enough, then that's good.
Sure.
Yeah, I bite my nails on it, but...
Yeah. And again, like, I'm okay, like, you know, because WWE is kind of, like, in fact, like, if two guys are in a program against each other, especially for the big events, like, you know, it's kind of like an unspoken rule where you're just like, okay, well, you just make sure those guys just don't lay a hand on each other until right. the pay-per-view, until people are paying money to see it. But lately, WWE just can't keep these people away from each other leading up to pay-per-view, like in sort of like, their tag team or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like they're fighting each other constantly, so by the time the pay-per-view comes back, you're like, I've already seen this.
Yeah.
Like, they put a little bit of more gas behind it, but we've already seen it. So, in a way, I'm like, I'm okay with it, especially since they're billing it as such a big deal.
Right.
Like Rock and Cena, like, they didn't touch each other at all, I don't think, until WrestleMania hit. So... That kind of helps with that, but I don't know. I would like to have seen at least Seth in, like, a couple, like, non-Roman-related matches, just, you right. know, one-on-one.
Well, and...
Do, like, a run-in or something, I don't know.
You have a situation there where Seth could very easily be in a match with Dean, you know, and that's, like, that you got the same, like, oh, they have a history just like you do with Roman. You got the same, like, he hates him for these reasons. And you got the same, like, oh, he's not Roman, but he's, like, Roman's buddy. So it's, like, fighting practice Roman.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that where he could, that's easily a main event of a Raw. Still feeds into your Roman storyline.
Sure.
But he can face somebody who's not Roman. Same with, like, Cena could be facing either member of the club, you know. Individually.
Yeah,
there
sure.
are ways where, like, these guys can feud not, you know, without touching the person that they're going to have a pay-per-view match with.
Right.
But at the same time feeding into that story.
Sure.
Which I think they struggle with sometimes, which leads to tag matches.
Sure.
So many tag matches.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, do you think that this is, like, at least for right now, it's just going to be, like, a one-off thing with Cena and AJ, or are they going to, it's going to be a multiple-month thing?
I picked AJ to win because I'm assuming the three months.
Sure.
You know, Cena loses, then Cena wins too.
Sure. Kind of like what they did with Kevin Owens last year. Yeah.
That's like, I can see that vision of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is slightly better than Triple H beating Sting at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just
because there was a return match at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm okay with not seeing his return match with Sting's TV, like, any day now.
Right.
I'm probably, if I had to, you know, put a circle around the date on a calendar, probably the Raw after Money in the Bank. Hopefully he doesn't attack anybody on Money in the Bank.
That was my first thought.
Footage,
like,
over and over and over again.
If he stops somebody from winning Money in the Bank, causing a four-month feud.
Or, honestly, if he ends up being, like, because, you know, at first, whenever they were doing the qualifiers for the Money in the Bank, they were like, there's going to be seven people, and they're like... No, there's six.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, there's not going to be a seventh person. I was kind of hoping at that point that the, like, mystery seventh person would be, like, Bray Wyatt at the last minute. Like, not necessarily, like, last minute, like, coming in mid-match, but, like, be the last guy coming to the ring, you know?
Right.
That would, I feel like that would be kind of cool. Kind of, it would be a big surprise. They're big on Bray Wyatt surprises.
Right.
So... I would like that. And also the other rumor, well, not rumor, apparently somebody talked to Ric Flair, and Ric Flair was just like, oh, no, Randy Orton's coming back in August. So.
Okay.
All right. But, that, you know, that makes sense, because that would be in time for SummerSlam.
Right.
And they would want him in a big profile match. I would really like to see Randy versus AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even care who wins that, because I just...
Just saying, that whole three-match thing, Cena loses, then Cena wins at Battleground, and then they'll have a one win each, and then it's Cena versus AJ for the final answer, sure. And that lands perfectly on SummerSlam.
Right. Well, yeah. I agree. So, and I'm not necessarily like every single returning big name that WWE has to immediately go up against AJ.
Yeah.
But I would like to see that like before the end of the year.
Okay.
So like SummerSlam is just like the day where I was like, that would be a good fresh thing to put Randy in that he hasn't done already, because it's a guy who hasn't been, you know, in the company while Randy Orton's been there.
Yeah, that's the advantage of like somebody like AJ coming in,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, oh, immediately new feud for
sure.
everybody.
And that's like the one of the things I'm looking forward to with the assumed influx of talent from NXT coming in through the draft.
Incidentally, there's also being some rumors that they might be reaching out to previous past
yes.
talents to come back.
Yeah, no specific names were like mentioned in the rumors, but apparently they have reached out to former talent. And they also, because I feel like this is a noteworthy tangent, they've also announced the 32 participants of the Cruiserweight Classic, two of those being former talents, one of them Tajiri,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was, I'm blanking on his name right now, Brian Kendrick.
Oh,
yeah. Both they've, you know, listed former talent. Now I kind of like raised an eyebrow when I saw, you know, somebody with the last name Daviri, and I'm like, oh no, that's his brother. No, yeah. Okay. So maybe that has something like, but again, like I would feel like WWE would probably have somebody
who. Okay, who do you realistically think it might be?
John Morrison.
You think so?
John Morrison, maybe Shelton Benjamin.
Okay, and who are your dream ones?
Obviously, Chris Masters. I know that your dream one's John Morrison.
Well,
I feel like you're probably more likely to get your guy back.
John Morrison has gone and become the big guy of another company.
Lucha, yeah.
So I think that anybody who's made a successful name for themselves in Lucha
mm-hmm.
might be getting a phone call.
There was another name, I can't remember right now, but there was another name that I thought would be really good.
I would not be like floored if Ezekiel Jackson got a phone call.
They've got enough big guys that are way more talented than he is, to be honest with you.
But they like big guys.
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rey Mysterio got a phone call.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if... I'd be a little surprised if Chavo got a phone
call.
Chavo? Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like they would bring him in, but not really do a whole lot with him.
Exactly. I mean, and that's...
And I feel like he's doing much better things in Lucha right now,
so... I feel like...
He's cool.
All of those guys, they'd bring him in, but not have a whole lot going.
Right.
Because, like you said, like, Ezekiel Jackson, yeah, they just have better people to fill that role.
Sure.
In WWE. The way WWE would use him, they have better options.
Right.
So... But you know that they're thinking, we just lost Ryback. We need new Ryback stat.
Sure.
And so, but yeah, that I think that's kind of whoever is looking successful elsewhere. It's the same thing with like Luke Gallows.
Go
and they're like, oh, he got successful. We want him back now.
Yeah. And I did mention it would be funny to see Blair's reaction if they brought Wade Barrett back, just when he thought he was gone. Yeah. You know,
just for those few couple of weeks.
It's bugging me that I can't think of, like, because there was one name in particular that I thought would be a good idea, but I can't remember it at all who it was. As soon as we stop recording, I know I'll come up with it.
Incidentally,
mm-hmm.
you already took it, but that was going to be my what's making me happy this week.
Okay.
Was that they released that list, which has basically sent me down, like, a YouTube hole.
Right. All these guys that you've seen their names pop up on, like, Reddit and stuff, but you really haven't, like... really, like, you know, dove into it.
Exactly, yeah. There's some guys I just flat don't recognize.
Sure.
There's some guys where I'm like, why do I recognize that? And then I'll go on the internet and somebody will have helpfully explained, like, he wrestles under this other name.
Sure, right, and right,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I recognize that other name.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some guys where it's like, I know that name, but it was because somebody mentioned it in one comment, like, I love da-da-da-da, that got, like, 1 point or one upvote.
Sure.
Like, that guy's a nerd. Shut up.
No, absolutely. No,
like, oh. So it's just, like, this huge, you know, dearth of matches that I all of a sudden, like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, following these guys. So, yeah, they've basically, whether intentionally or not, have given me this cheat sheet of indie wrestlers that are like, we're looking at these guys.
Sure.
And so I'm like, I'll look at those guys.
Because a lot of those guys, we feel, again, the influx coming up in the draft and everything, that, you know, clearly they're going to look into hiring a lot of these guys if they haven't, like, secretly signed, you know, the majority of them.
Yeah.
Is there any of them that stick out to you right now as, like, the guy that WWE would probably get behind as far as winning the whole thing?
I honestly don't know.
I've got two.
Who do you have?
It's the guys that they've been making the biggest deal out of, and that's Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi. Mainly because Ibushi, like when they apparently there was a conversation where like they talked to Nakamura whenever they first got him, like, who are guys that you would absolutely want to see, and it was Ibushi and Okada.
Yeah.
Or Okada, however you say it. I don't never say it right. But Okada is like the guy now in New Japan, and I feel like he's not going to leave that spot anytime soon.
With Zack, that, like, if you had asked me a week ago, I would have probably said him if you, you know, forced me to make a guess. Mostly because, like, well, I knew that name, and I knew he was
sure
to be there. But watching all these things, I was like, I genuinely could see this going a lot of different directions.
Sure. And I mean, honestly, I feel like they're probably going to put a lot of emphasis behind Rich Swann. He had debuted on NXT like a while ago, but we hadn't seen him in a while. Apparently that's because he's been like resting up an ankle injury that he could have probably wrestled through, but he's purposely wanting to save it, or they're purposely wanting to save him for this
tournament. So yeah, I'm getting hyped on that.
Yeah, but I feel like it's going to come down. If I had to pick right now, I would say Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay.
Apparently, also running the rounds of rumor, like, WWE is really wanting, they really wanted to get Will Ospreay for this.
Mm-hmm.
And he, just not too long ago signed a 2-year deal with New Japan, and that, you know.
That kills it.
If that name sounds familiar to anybody, that's apparently, like, that's the clip that's been, like, just memed all over the place of the Japan match where it was just something just incredibly beautiful match. I don't remember. It was Ricochet. Him versus Ricochet. And again, Ricochet, I feel like he should have been in this cruiserweight tournament as well.
Yeah.
That's the clip that Vader kind of poo-pooed on, and the entire internet was like, how dare you? Yeah. You know? I still haven't watched that match, but I need to, apparently.
What's making you happy?
I gotta go with, like, I don't want to sound like I'm copying you, but that the cruiserweight thing got me really, really hyped for it. Oh god, this is going to sound really, really douchey. But I would. What's making me happy this week is a video that went out on IBA Studios this week. just because it's a video game or gameplay thing that me and Neil did that I enjoyed making, I enjoyed editing, and I enjoyed putting it out. And, like, I'm enjoying watching it now, and I'm probably I think it's got, like, you know, however many views it's got right now is probably, like, at least 85% me.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like, I just enjoy it so much, and it's us playing Mount Your Friends, and it's just really, just, it's this very simple game, it's a dumb game, but, man, I enjoy it.
All right, yeah, we'll
I tried really hard not to make that sentence sound douchey.
One more thing I wanted to mention. I think this came from Meltzer, but apparently there is discussion of there being two pay-per-views a month going forward, specifically like a Raw one and a SmackDown.
Apparently, it was Lawler who, like, it was some, like, some panel thing that he was in, and he just kind of dropped that nugget.
Did he drop it as, like, a this would be a cool idea, or this is what they're planning on doing?
It sounded like it was more like this is what they're planning on doing.
So, let me just paint you a picture here. So, 4 weeks in a month, basically.
Sure.
So, 2 weeks,
there's
going to be 3 hours of pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yes.
There's going to be three hours of Raw on Monday, 2 hours of SmackDown on Tuesday, an hour of NXT on Wednesday, and I'm assuming an hour of Cruiserweight.
Well, the Cruiserweight is going to just be in the summer. So by the time September comes around, they'll be... But as far as for
the summer goes,
right,
there's going to be weeks where I'm watching 10 hours of wrestling.
Sure.
Just if I'm watching WWE.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with any sort of additional network specials.
No, yeah.
If they want to do any of the live, you know, house shows.
WWE just wants to take up your entire week.
Any other, like, you know, not that I'm chomping at the bit to watch Swerved, but, like, I'm still into Camp WWE. I'm enjoying it still.
Sure, okay.
I'm going to definitely check out Holy Foley. So,
right.
Like, any additional thing that, you know, they're putting out. And I feel like this is their biggest combatant against, like, Lucha and Ring of Honor. Is just, like, if there's this much wrestling,
then we're going to basically wear everyone out so they can't pay attention to the other promotions. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm absolutely falling behind other things. I'm just
sure.
Like, I've watched my wrestling quota this
sure.
week.
And you tire them out so long that they're not going to wait around till 11 o'clock at night for TNA to finally start working. I said I wasn't going to make fun of them. I tried. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
You know what?
And again, it sounds like it wasn't their fault. It sounds like it was all Pop TV's fault.
That's the thing. It's like, it pretty much sounds like Pop TV screwed up.
Sure.
And it really sucks for TNA because they are more in the limelight than they've been because of that crazy Hardy video.
Oh, God,
that
yeah.
has made it, you know. Like, I was seeing that pop up on non-wrestling sites.
Sure.
Look at what a guy did.
Like, this is what happens when you let the Hardys produce their own video stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, for better or for ill, I did, like, I had forgotten or was unaware that Slammiversary was anywhere close
sure.
to right here until, like, it was right now. And I found
because of these guys, yeah.
that video.
And him, like, putting Jeff through a table that wasn't meant for that. Like, not
yeah.
saying that any table really is meant for that, but that one especially, no.
Yeah. I still didn't watch Slammiversary.
So no, like, neither did I. But
it
again,
It wasn't that successful.
I mean, I could have used the excuse that I was at work, but technically, I could have made it.
Like, yeah,
technically, it would have been on by the time I got home.
But apparently, Slammiversary is pretty good.
Okay.
Or surprisingly good. Let's say.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
And so like, TNA was like, you know. Finally, round in the corner, like looked like the sun was shining.
Oh, sure, because a lot of people have been. I've seen a lot of people's like, no, guys, the product is better than what it was. You know, just you need to give it a chance. And I was like, okay.
And so, you know, and
it is seriously, it is unfortunate for them that it's something that's not even their fault.
But it feels like it's their fault,
right? It feels like it should be.
Yeah,
you know,
like
or just. Is there, like, because I know they don't have offices anymore, is there, like, office/warehouse just, like, built on, like, a Native American burial
know,
ground or
the
something?
Thing is, like, it's just, because as soon as that happens, like, TNA, you screwed up.
Yeah, that's the, you know, I think Jonah was the first one to kind of point it out to all of us, and like, you're rascally TNA, thinking that you can do a live TV show again. But no, it wasn't even their fault, sounds like.
But, like, I don't know. When you have screwed up that much for that long, yeah, you don't necessarily get to just, like, you know, I'm going to assume that the next mess up's your fault. So, I'm always rooting for you, technically.
Sure.
I want good.
Well, yeah.
I want.
Because competition breeds better.
Exactly.
Better competition, really.
TNA has never really been competition.
No, not as far as like ratings and production
or
anything.
They did for a time serve as an alternative.
Sure.
That I could be like, I'm not about this.
And now that alternative is NXT because they have all these former TNA guys.
Yeah, that's the thing is like WWE figured out how to, you know, serve that need for me anyway.
By cherry picking the guys that they want, the guys that they like. But look at us. Look at us having a quick segment about TNA without predicting how long it will be until they fold. Because we've been wrong so far.
Yeah.
They are.
I'm rooting for them.
Cockroaches.
Like,
cockroaches, Twinkies, and TNA, man.
They've somehow turned like the zombie that won't stay dead into
right.
the wily underdog. So I'm like, all
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got, you crazy Hardys.
They are, Jason. Like, they just won't die.
Yeah.
They'll just always come back for another sequel.
Yeah, but by Friday the 13th, part 6, you start cheering for Jason.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, you know what? He deserves a win.
There you go.
Just real quick, I told these people that I would do it last week, and we ran out of time. And it's been a while, so let's take a dip into the mail sack.
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I kind of put out a scenario, and it stemmed from a conversation that we had had with the Trashy Boys off mic. And it was, you know, pick five people, like, just say that you're in charge of the draft, and you pick five people for Raw, five people for SmackDown, who'd you get? And we, you know, automatically take Roman and Cena off the board, like, because we just assume one is going to go one place, one is going to the other, they're probably going to be the number one picks for both.
Right.
And honestly, does it really matter which show they go on to? Like, it doesn't matter, no. You know? So I added in a couple more stipulations to that, get five picks. One has to be from the female roster, and then one from the tag team. Like, and you know, the tag team would count as one pick.
Okay.
And then just an additional, like, a wild card. I didn't ask, like, the people that I've got listed that answered. They don't have it, but it's just an idea I had afterwards. Just a wild card six pick. Anyone, any wrestler in the world that's living. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna go mystical, like, dead or alive. You know,
okay.
Rules. All right, so, but just with that, the original five rules. Q put for Raw, Rollins, Sami Zayn, Nakamura, New Day, Banks. SmackDown, he had Ambrose, Owens, Styles, Enzo and Cass, Becky Lynch. From Twitter, at Gina Vega Lopez said for Raw, Jericho, Ambrose, Rollins, Lynch, New Day. SmackDown, Sasha, AJ Styles, Enzo and Cass, Cesaro, and Owens. Kind of seeing, like, a little bit of a, you know, a trend. Mm-hmm. A few differences, like, I think that's the only real mention of, no, that Cesaro is kind of getting sprinkled in there a little bit. Like, I would definitely pick him. I don't know if I would pick him in my, like, top three or right. Four or five. And this comes from Inside Pulse, Finn McInnes. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Ross, he has New Day, Dean, Cesaro, Enzo and Cass, and Bobby Roode. SmackDown's got AJ in the club, so kind of like, I'm guessing, like, I would count that as, like, you could technically pick more than one tag team, but that's kind of a way to get a tag team and a number one, like, a name guy.
Yeah.
So kudos for that little loophole. So AJ in the club, Nakamura, American Alpha, Rusev, Samoa Joe. Okay, so here's what I've got.
Okay.
For Raw, I've got Nakamura, Seth, Kevin Owens, New Day, Sasha Banks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown, I've got Dean, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, American Alpha, Asuka.
Okay.
Okay? And I'll explain my reasoning. I kind of wanted, like, Nakamura just because I want him on the main show. But he would kind of serve as, like, that out there figure.
Right.
That's why I put Dean on SmackDown. Like, so they're kind of, like, the same theme, but very different about that. But then, you know, like, AJ Styles and Seth, the more athletic guys, can be a face or a heel. Right now they're both heels. Put them on both, and they would be probably the top heel of that particular brand.
Right.
From a, you know, from more athletic. But then I also wanted, like, the bigger monster heels. So Kevin Owens, that's why I have him on one show, and I've got Samoa Joe on the other. Like, still different, but similar in that vibe. And then New Day, because New Day, you want them on the A show, and for a while, Raw's going to still be the A show.
Right.
Then American Alpha, just because I freaking love them. It was either that or Enzo and Cass. And Enzo and Cass, well, I would probably put them on SmackDown as well. But as far as, like, my top five pick, you look at those guys mm-hmm. from the eyes of WWE, like, why wouldn't they be in your top five? American right. Alpha, you know? And for the females, Sasha, because she the world need the universe needs to revolve around her. She really does.
Yeah.
She's that good. And Asuka is, like, right there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are two alphas that could be on separate shows. And separate champions, and I feel like that would be a good idea.
All right. You want me to do it now?
Yeah. All right. If you can come up with it on the spot.
So first of
all, that's why I kind of vamped for a little bit.
First of all, I'll give you rosters, but I don't really want to say which one's Raw and which one's SmackDown.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because, and honestly, it doesn't matter.
Because theoretically,
right,
they should be interchangeable.
Yes.
You should have two equal rosters.
Sure.
So...
And honestly, like, with, like, New Day and Order, it honestly came down to, like, really a coin flip, and that's just kind of, like, the Raw thing, kind of my rational, right,
I mean,
at that
point. So largely what I want to do is focus on, like, which guys do you definitely want on the same roster?
Sure.
Which guys do you want on separate rosters?
Keep them apart.
Like, for example, for the tag teams, I'm going to put New Day on one side, and I'm going to put Enzo and Big Cass on the other side, just for their time-filling ability.
Sure.
These are the two tag teams where you're like, all right, we have a 20-minute segment that we need to fill. Give this guy a mic, tell him who he's making fun of, and he can...
Sure.
This group, either one, can genuinely entertain the crowd for 20 minutes easily. So I would have them separate, one on one roster, one on the other roster.
Okay.
I would probably separate Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I kind of was going back and forth, like, you got to put them together. That's a feud.
Yeah.
That's also a feud that can easily kind of weave in and out for years.
Sure.
And the way you do that is you keep them separate. And then on whatever grand cross, because there will be grand cross, there'll be a bragging rights pay-per-view, or there'll be like a... It's going to be maybe 4 months before they cave and like, this is the Raw Super Show. We're a crossover of, you know, both rosters. And so when you have those...
Oh, man, how tempted would they be to make that Raw 4 hours?
Oh, don't you put that evil out in the world.
Too late.
So when you have those inevitable things...
Sure.
Then, and you have the two rosters standing and running in at each other,
mm-hmm.
and you get that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn start punching the crap out of each other.
It's one of those things where they could, like, pick up immediately where they left off, no matter how long they've been apart. Mm-hmm. But it would also help kind of keep a freshness to it and not get the Cena-Orton aspect.
Yeah, and there was always a problem with the drafts. One of the downfalls of the drafts was a guy would get drafted to the new roster and have nothing to do because he has no feuds with anybody.
Sure,
And so there was always, like, it happened every year, and it got so stale where, like, somebody would get drafted, and then they, you know, in the show, beating somebody up on their new roster, and they'd have to come out the next thing and be like, I had to make a statement, and so that was the statement that I made.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, everybody makes a statement, whatever. But if you draft Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn to the next roster, you have this instant ready-made feud to build off of. So I'd keep those two guys separate. I would also, like, the guys that I love, things like Cesaro, guys like AJ, they could go either way. I would split up Dean and Seth.
Yeah.
I would probably put Seth on whatever card Roman ends up on.
Sure.
Because I would like Dean to be able to stand and shine on his own.
Sure.
Dean, for better or for worse, because he wasn't Roman and because he wasn't the first champion, has somehow gone from being the leader of the Shield, who's going to be the breakout star, to that one guy who was, he was also in the Shield.
The crazy uncle.
Like, yeah, it's this weird thing. And so, as much as I loved him in the Shield, he needs to be entirely separate, an entirely separate storyline.
Right.
Almost an entirely separate
identity outside of the Shield.
Yeah,
what he has accomplished so far, but now that Seth is back, is just again he's doing a
good job, but he's also being used as a cheer booster for Roman.
Sure,
because he's Roman's friend,
right?
And so for Dean to succeed, I need him away from Roman, so he would be on the Cena roster,
right?
Whichever show that may be,
and it would help Roman honestly to kind of lean on Seth for future feuds against them.
Yeah.
You know?
What, I have the women left?
Yes.
So,
for me, it just came down to, like, two... It came down to two females that I both want to, like, win everything, but of course they can't win everything if they're on the same roster against each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
What it comes down to is, I think the women's title should not be on the same show as the main title.
Okay.
And theoretically, I think we've talked about the title should be able to be fluid through shows.
Yeah, I would prefer the WWE, the tag team, and the women's title to be able to cross both shows.
Right, and appear on just, both shows.
Yeah, and then leave the mid-cards.
But, you know, you're still going to have some level of like, yeah, he can be on both shows right now, but he's a Raw guy,
right,
or she's a SmackDown wrestler. So doing that by keeping those at least initially, you know, obviously it'll change as we go through, but at least for this initial draft, if the women's champion is not on the same roster as the men's champion, I think that pulls away a little bit of shadow on that women's championship.
Okay.
Makes it a lot more possible for that women's championship to main event an episode of Raw or of SmackDown, whatever.
Right. If they kind of, because then it becomes like, this is the biggest title on the show right now.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So because it's right now, I would have Charlotte somewhere and I would have Sasha Banks somewhere else.
Sure.
And
then meet up for the ultimate match later
because
on.
Also,
yeah.
That is a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
And so you make it feel more WrestleMania if you don't have them fighting. And
sure.
You have them from opposite things. For my number six man
wild card
pick, and this one I will, this one I will put down. What shows these guys appear on?
Mm-hmm.
Because The Rock should appear on SmackDown. The Rock should be a SmackDown.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
He should come back. He should come back. Episode one and be like, SmackDown's live. I had to come back.
Yeah.
He should have a 4-week feud with someone. Like, obviously, I can't be like, Rock's back forever. Because, I mean, we're fantasying right now. So, yeah, Rock's back forever is my ideal.
Yeah, sure.
Dream. But even slightly under that, trying to, you know, make a compromise with the universe. Rock on SmackDown. We got to watch SmackDown again. Not only is it live, The Rock's on there.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock's going to be on there for 4 to 6 weeks.
Sure.
The Rock can also appear on the first SmackDown pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Feuding with somebody.
Right.
You know, this Rock versus Kevin Owens
mm-hmm.
would be an amazing thing. Obviously, The Rock would have to win because he's The Rock.
Sure.
But Kevin Owens going toe-to-toe with The Rock
mm-hmm.
Really solidifies him, because Kevin Owens should be your main bad on a show now.
Mm-hmm.
So having him go toe-to-toe with The Rock, having an episode of the show end with him standing triumphant over The Rock. Obviously,
right.
The Rock has to win at the pay-per-view. But you have Kevin Owens beat him up and standing over him and shouting down at him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice, powerful ending that you can, you know, link that to Kevin Owens.
Sure.
And then I would have Brock Lesnar on Raw to balance out the only appears once in a while super megastar.
Right. As far as my wild card, I would, like, I'm tempted to say Young Bucks, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't really have, like, any thing against them or anything, but what I would actually go with is if this was like a full-on like ESPN type of, like, you know, scout, we're going to find the best talent, and, you know, what you looked for is you look everywhere and you're like, who has the most talent and who has the most potential, preferably younger, so that you can utilize that talent and develop that talent over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I don't really care what show, but I would go Ricochet on one. Like, I still feel like Ricochet is going to probably be in the company within the next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet.
Sure. And then on the other hand, and you can call me a homer, I don't care, but Trevor Lee, referee right here in North Carolina, like, even though I think he's still the X Division champion at TNA. And I feel like that's probably the only reason why he's not in the Cruiserweight.
That's a bit of a hiccup.
Yeah. But, man, he's so good, and he's still so young.
Yeah.
So I feel like if this was, like, truly finding, like, the best, like, scouting the best talent, it would go one way or the other with those two guys. Another names I would throw out there, I would bring back Drew McIntyre as Drew Galloway, doing whatever he's currently doing now. Like, that, what he's doing now is working for him.
Yeah.
But the bad thing is, I don't know if WWE would do that. And again, like I said, Young Bucks, just because I would like to see, and bring along, Kenny Omega as well.
Okay.
Not to say that he's like, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
I would absolutely bring him back, bury whatever hatchet he has with WWE over his developmental stuff that went on.
Uh-huh.
And finally have the dream match between those three and New Day.
Yeah.
That they've all, that all six guys want have so bad.
To do, yeah.
Yeah. But if I had a, like, gun to head, as far as, like, super talented guys that are still very young, I would go Ricochet and then Trevor Lee.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, sounds good. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, one of which is this Sunday.
Yep.
That's at CR Attire. So tweet along with us for Money in the Bank this Sunday.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to get the podcast to you every single week. You can subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
As absolutely. As
podcast metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Easy yep. way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have the video Chris talked about earlier.
It is already on the YouTube or on the Facebook we'll page.
On the Facebook as well. So easy way to find that if you want to check it out. Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.